Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is March 5th, 2024. It is Tuesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Evolution of a Witch Prompt Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "You cannot swim for new horizons until you have courage to lose sight of the shore," by William Faulkner. I like that. It's all about risks. Like, does it really mean much if it's not risky, you know? So we are talking about tulips this week, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the lore. So I'm going to be honest, ever since I started including lore in our herb spices, whatever we're talking about, it really adds such a beautiful dynamic, and I'm really happy that we're doing it. So this comes to us from Cornell University, more specifically the Cornell Botanical Gardens, and it is the legends and lore of tulips. So tulips have been cultivated for hundreds of years for their beauty and powerful symbolism. Illustrative books displayed young flower gardens, which shares legends and lore of tulips. Tulips arrived in Holland around the 1590s, which we talked about yesterday. But one of the most colorful accounts of their introduction involved botany professor Charles Dulysses, who had brought an impressive collection of bulbs from the Imperial Gardens of Vienna. As tulips and other exotic flowers became the stars of Dutch gardens, they were also favored by Dutch artists. Paintings of these mixed flower bouquets were especially popular. These decorative flower portraits carried a symbolic message as well. Life, like a bouquet of flowers, is fleeting. Therefore, avoid pursuits that are vain, empty, or pretentious. Some artists even painted blossoms that had already faded to emphasize this vanity or anti-vanity symbol. The tulip earned a place in English gardens and folklore as well. Villagers from Devon claimed that fairies would protect anyone who grew tulips because the blossoms would cradle their wee infants. Tucked quietly into their tulip beds, fairy babies were rocked gently to sleep by the soft spring breeze. And that way, fairy mothers could dance the whole night without a care. I really love that idea, right? I love that symbolism of that if you have tulips, the fae are protecting you because you're protecting their babies. I think that's super sweet. Okay. Moving into some headlines, this comes to us from newsfromthestates.com. ACLU Rhode Island files suit claiming that violation of Native American inmates' religious freedom. So the ACLU of Rhode Island on Wednesday filed a federal lawsuit against the State Department of Corrections over allegations it refused to accommodate the religious practices of an indigenous inmate. The lawsuit, filed in the U.S. District Court in Providence in conjunction with Roger Williams University, claims the Department of Corrections repeatedly denied requests from inmate Wolf Powichong, who is 59, to wear a white Mountain Apache tribe headband. DOC spokesperson J.R. Ventura said the department on Wednesday that they just became aware of this lawsuit and is looking into the matter, that any concerns will be addressed once we have an opportunity to read it and discuss its claims. The suit claims that this inmate's request for a headband were on the grounds that his religion is designated as pagan/Wiccan in the DOC's data management system, and that an Apache headband is not an improved religious item for people with a designation. Now, I do want to emphasize, okay, I'm emphasizing, this inmate is not claiming that indigenous spirituality is the same as pagan and or Wiccan. I think the point they're trying to say here is that the system is so limited that literally his indigenous beliefs fit nowhere else but in the Wiccan category, which in itself is something that clearly needs to be addressed. So yeah, really interesting. I'm curious to see kind of what comes of this. And the inmate stated, I don't think this is too much to ask for. Yeah, I mean, it's a headband. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, March 5th. The waning crescent moon continues to drive ever forward in Capricorn today. Here, the moon trines Jupiter and Uranus. The Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is beginning to tighten, and we are finding more and more happy accidents to guide us along our destinies. With this being an Earth trine, the more effort we put in, the more things will start to turn our way. We should be careful about being too optimistic or getting ahead of ourselves. This Jupiter-Uranus conjunction can cause us to feel a little overconfident about taking risks. But if there was ever a time to try a new tack, now would be it. Your daily moon mantra is, I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Revolution of a Witch is a prompt journal made for witches by witches. Do you believe in good versus evil? What three items would be used to summon you? Who has been the most impactful person in your practice? These questions are meant to not only help you think about life from new perspectives, but to elevate your magic as well. Whether you want to write your responses and move on, or use this journal as a jumping-off point for future conversations with friends, Evolution of a Witch is a judgment-free space for you to share your thoughts and ideas. Evolution of a Witch by best-selling author Tanya Brown is available for order online at your local bookshop or wherever books are sold.
All right, we are back. So we have a listener response to our episode on Lupercalia. This is from listener Amanda. Amanda says, my partner and I traveled to Rome last summer, where we spent 10 hours on tours of the Colosseum and the Roman Forum. One of our tour guides was Roman, a political and religious historian specializing in the pagan practices of pre-Christian Rome. As we toured the Forum, our guide regaled us with the full story of Remus and Romulus, but he used the modern terms for what Wolf and Wolfston would have meant in pre-Rome times. The terms referred to sex workers and brothels. Many historians believe that Remus and Romulus were found by a woman who was a sex worker and raised in a brothel. While in Pompeii, my partner and I noticed that the still-standing brothels had images of wolves in frescoes among some tantric menus that are fun to remember during this holiday season. Because of this cultural significance, another way to celebrate Lupercalia might be to advocate for a decriminalization of sex work or to donate to pro-sex work organizations. Sex is one of the first things we associate with intimacy. So supporting or fighting for the safety of those who specialize in offering that service to those who might otherwise never have it is one way we could celebrate the carnal passions that Lupercalia is about. Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's really super interesting. And then Fidez Aurora said, that's so interesting, Amanda. I never thought about it that way, but it makes sense. The she-wolf and sex worker, so interesting. Yeah, that's super interesting. Thank you so much for sharing. I will say that, you know, for someone who lives in New Orleans, that it is absolutely impossible to live here and not care about sex worker rights. You will become friends with people in the sex work industry. It's just a part of the culture. And we have to remember that sex work isn't just about, you know, the actual act of sex. Sex work includes burlesque. It includes stripping. It includes all of these kind of forms of intimate kind of performance, right? And I will say some people are a little unsure about the idea of like burlesque and stripping counting as sex work. But from my personal friends who are in the industry, I know that they prefer it to be called sex work. So yeah, it's really fascinating. So thank you so much for sharing. I absolutely love that. All right. So I asked a question in the Facebook group and I said, how do you best connect to earth and earth magic? As we're moving into spring, we're kind of moving out of winter. Tulips are in bloom and the little fey babies are being cuddled within their petals. What are some ways you best connect to earth magic? Because I think a lot of us are kind of feeling that way right now. Nix said, I am about to find out this week. I'm going to go for a short winter walk in the local state park. Yeah, I'll say going out in nature is a big one. You know, I like to do my little getaways where I go to a cabin in the middle of the woods. And I'm going to say I've had some really profound magical experiences out there. You can feel the fae-like energy, the elemental energy, and it really can help calm. It definitely clears my mind. I feel like I can think clearly. But I will say something about being out in nature too is it also highlights issues within your life. You know, the first time I went to the woods in the national park, I noticed how thirsty I was all the time. I was like, oh, I wake up every 2 hours thirsty. And it made me realize, hey, you've been dehydrated. You haven't been drinking water. Like, it just kind of highlighted this need I had. And similarly, the last time I went, I suffered a major panic attack. And that is when I reached out for telehealth to get a prescription for something to help with my anxiety. And that was a big one. I was like, if I'm having a panic attack out here, it's a issue. There's something going on that needs to be addressed. So we have to remember that nature, it aligns us, but it aligns us sometimes by just pointing out the things that we need to work on that maybe are easy to ignore when we're busy or overstimulated or listening to podcasts or have music playing. When we're in the woods and it's just you and nature, things are highlighted. Corey says, I find that connecting to her and the grid easiest after cleaning outdoors, lots of roadside trash collection and beach cleaning. And then I put headphones or earmuffs on and stand barefoot in the grass or sand for about 20 minutes. The connection is there when you can feel her rhythmic pulse in addition to your own. Oh, I love that. Teresa responded to that and said, yes, the act of cleaning up is a great offering. And she does respond. We have a lot of national parks around me, a lot of preserves, things like that. And I've wondered if I should like have one day a month where I just go to like the park on a Sunday and bring a little snack and a book and just like lay amongst the nature. But I'm very afraid of alligators. Like growing up in Florida, we have a healthy, healthy fear of gators. So sometimes I'm like, what if the gators get me? But I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure they're not hanging out in this park. Mindy says, if you live in a colder area, it can be tough during winter. Potted plants help me, having them in and around my house. Casey says, planting and gardening, going for a walk in the park or hike. Just sitting in the park is even good. You know, I kind of want to be, again, very bacchanalian and get a beach chair and some grapes and just like lounge in the park all day. Donalyn says, gardening, going to the beach, walking around the beautiful squares in my city, going to the park, sitting on a deck, watching birds and squirrels. Rebecca says, even if you just have a plant inside your space that you care for, I keep rocks, sticks, feathers from places I go. They remind me of the connection and provide energy and protection for my space. And you'll always have a weapon on hand. Lilith says, looking at it from an elemental perspective, earth elements or spirits have always been associated with foundation, rooting, longevity, ancestry. Whenever I do any sort of shielding work or anything that might take some time to manifest, earth elements are the go-to for me. I have a thing for fossilized dirt, mud, trees. My favorite plant is hay, which is built to be munched on by dinosaurs. To me, earth elements have the personality. If they were plants, they would be redwoods, highly consistent, drawing life from ground and sky while bridging both, supporting an entire ecosystem of just being. Krista says, I like to walk barefoot on the earth, burn incense, and meditate. I live near a river, so blessing myself with water, observing animals, and looking for feathers, moss, mushrooms is really grounding. Dara says, toes in the dirt. Frankie says, intuitive walks. Connecting as I walk, and then I usually find something that buzzes energetically as a place to rest, ground, and connect. Lori says, sun on my face. Sam, through harvest and cooking. I love that when I need a shot of spiritual energy, there's usually an herb, veggie I can harvest and cook with. Visualizing how it spreads to the rest of the meal brings the intention full force. Tara says, great question. I've been using Alamandine garnet lately because it's been cold, just to go outside and connect. And then Krista says, trail walks, outdoor herb gardens. Yeah, this would be a great time to like start thinking about if you want to have a little herb garden. I know a lot of us, and when I say a lot of us, I mean me, kind of has this like fantasy about having an herb garden, and then I'll put all the energy, time, and effort into like making one, and then it dies. I don't have a green thumb. But I still want it, you know? So maybe even just having one, having a single pot with a single herb is a great way to start. We don't need to go like ham on it and like try to have everything. I think starting with one could be a really great idea for those of us who are just not green thumbed. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Christina Gerritsen, Christina, you sophisticated, opulent, selkie, Veronica, you loyal, sophisticated oracle, and Dripacabria, you glittery, tenacious Valkyrie queen. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. Before we leave today, we do have a card pull from the Roast Iconic Oracle. Influencer, are you using your power for good or evil? Choose wisely. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources. Anything we reference can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.